Hey guys, welcome to the Big Bold Faith Podcast, a podcast dedicated to getting real, bold, and honest when it comes to walking out our everyday faith. My name is Brittany Durfee, and I'm the host here to welcome you. If it is your first time, hello, how you doing? And all my faith finders, welcome back. This is episode number 17. I cannot believe we are already here and we have arrived. It has been a ride. It has been obedience. It has been discipline showing up every single week for you guys. And I just hope that in the midst of everything, God is talking to you. You're starting to hear God's voice. You're starting to question. You're starting to become a little bit more aware of where you are in your walk. That is the goal of here on the Big Bold Faith Podcast, to really understand who we are, the people that God has created us to be, to walk out our faith in the baby steps of life, right? Faith doesn't just come overnight. I think that there has to be some type of intentionality. There has to be an awakening. There has to be a wokeness when it comes to our faith. There has to be time to just kind of stand still and to put some work into our faith, to do the tiny things that build up our big, bold faith, mustard seed faith. So if you are here, thank you for joining. So happy for you to be joining today on episode 17. We're actually going to jump back into another episode that we were previously already in. We had a part two with my good friend, Stephen Murphy. He is the host of the Nook Podcast. And last week, we had such great conversation with my good friend, Dr. Tierra T. Ellis, that I had put a pause on this part two because, well, we had a little bit of technical glitches, but I am so sure that this week it's going to be crystal clear. It is a whole new conversation, which I didn't even have a script or questions, you guys. Like, I came saying, God, it is your will for this to be done. Give us conversation. Give us the word that your people need to hear. Let it be not be my will, but let it be your will to be done. So I really hope that this conversation, this part two conversation, can just bless your spirit on where you are, because it's kind of what I've been dealing with in this season of understanding myself, having this identity, having this awareness, and clearing space in our minds, right? That's kind of our theme this month, of understanding the battle that's in between our mind, our emotions that are in our mind, the confusion, the opposition, the thoughts that go on minute to minute, second to second. It is so pivotal that we're actually wearing the helmet, you guys. Like, that's just not in the Bible. That's not just a figure of speech. It is something true that we need every single morning before we wake up. I have started praying over my mind before I go to sleep, because think about it. You go to sleep and you wake up and you're like, I had the strangest dream. And I feel like even in our sleeping, right, it says the devil comes to steal, kill, and destroy. And he prowls like a lion, right? I feel like even in our sleep, we're unprotected. We're unprotected in our minds. And the devil can work during that time when we're not alert, right? The Bible says that we should be sober-minded and we should be alert at all times, right? During that time, the devil is seeking us 24 hours a day. And what do? We go to sleep, we slumber, we're just like, relax. All of our alarms are all of our defenses and our walls are down. And then we wake up and we're like, oh my goodness, I had a strange dream. Someone was coming after me. I did this, this, and the third. And what a more powerful thing to pray before you go to bed over your mind, to say, God, you know, whether that be, hey, God, protect my mind, my thoughts as I sleep, protect the dreams that I have. Lord, give me vision, give me understanding in these dreams so that when I wake up, I understand what the dreams mean, so that we can really live out even the conversations and the meanings that God gives us. So I want to give that to you guys today, but we're going to jump into this part two of The Power is Within You, because I really think that the very thing that we're looking for is within us. We have the power to declare, we have the power to change, but we have to choose at the end of the day, right? God is going to to give you the things, and he's going to give you calling. He's going to give you purpose. He's going to give you vision. He's going to give you discernment. But we all have to choose at the end of the day. We have to choose which thoughts we're going to think. We have to choose what we're going to serve our minds, what we are not going to serve our minds, what we're going to respond to, right? All of it's a choice, and it's hard, right? It's so, so hard. Like, dang, can anything be easy? But I think that if we consciously wake up and we do the work little by little, that it will all manifest what it's supposed to be. So I hope that you're inspired, but let's jump into this week's episode. All right. So I have the Mr. Stephen Murphy back with us with a part two. Our first take wasn't so, show ready. So we decided to do a part two. And I can't guarantee that everything we recorded the first time is going to actually take part this second time. So you definitely want to listen in, because this is newness that God's going to give us, the Holy Spirit's going to grace us with, because I'm not even going with questions or script today. So that's how confident I feel. God was kind of speaking to me today as I was walking my dog. So I'm excited that you're back on. So does this make this like a part two or part three, or
let's go two A. It needs some kind of delineation, and I take all the blame.
And that's fine, you guys, because faith isn't perfect, and neither is recording, and neither is life. And so you kind of just have to go with the punches and, you know, step out on faith, even when it doesn't make sense, even when it doesn't look pretty and it's in a bow. Both of us come from a production standpoint. And I know when I got the final version, I told you guys, like, we just gonna go with what we got. And then I was like, okay, let's do a second and a third, whatever way that we have to get the message out. So I'm so excited for you to be here, Stephen, and kind of to touch base on what we were talking about last time was kind of this ideal about self-identity, right? Of understanding who we are as ourselves so that we can understand God and our faith and going through it. And you were sharing your wonderful testimony about, of course, you know, you are the host of the Nook podcast, but even furthermore was like just kind of your relationship and your walk of like being diagnosed with having depression, right? And going through like that mental capacity or that mental space. And we're just getting out of the month of May of mental awareness. But even last week on our episode, we had my good friend, Dr. Tiara T. Ellis. She's a psychologist. She does wonderful work for the kingdom and for people here on earth. And just talking about this mental space all day long. And it got me to thinking, like, to understand ourselves, we have this battlefield going on in our mind, right? The thoughts that continuously play themselves in and out over and over, cycle to cycle. And we get trapped in this whole ideal of ourselves within our mind. And if we could just be more mindful, no pun intended, on what we put in our minds, how we receive it, how we kind of set the atmosphere or set the environment, I like to say, because the atmosphere, I'm all about seeds, right? So if you're planting something, it doesn't matter like the soil and the seeds that you plant, if the environment, if you're going through an environmental crisis, right? Or like there's the ozone layer, right? There's extra heat, there's extra something that's changing the land. And I would just ask you, like going through finding yourself and going through your season that you shared with us last time, like what was in the atmosphere? Like what was that, you know, may have been something that you shouldn't have been serving so much or something that you could have changed in that particular environment?
I think maybe the easy one to look at quickly is you talking so much about your thoughts. Mm-hmm. I have this tendency, and I think that was definitely a part of my diagnosis or seeking out that diagnosis, to spiral, where one bad thought leads to another bad thought, leads to another bad thought, and to where now the recipe is really that tainted. It just becomes so multi-layered of, well, this thing didn't go so well. So then I start thinking, well, the next thing probably won't go so well. And I feel like that's really where things started to turn so dark for me, is that one day of darkness just became 2 days of darkness and 3 days of darkness. And while initially it didn't seem like you just walk in and just shut all the lights off, it's that incremental slow fade that by the time I felt like I was kind of at rock bottom, there was a part of me, not to sound like I'm totally naive, but of how in the world did I get here? Mm-hmm. Because it was a long process that probably took place over maybe a couple of years. Where I'd have some okay days and some moments of victory. But by and large, I was buying into those lies of I'm not good enough, I'm not talented enough, that my work isn't effective enough. And I can acknowledge full well that there's an enemy. We have an enemy that wants me to believe those thoughts and just bombarded me. And I think that those spiritual elements mixed with my chemical elements and, you know, all that goes in to make us, mm-hmm. I felt like I think I still struggle on how to adequately assess everything that kind of brought me to that really low point. But I mean, you talk about the atmosphere. I was making my own atmosphere and it was just not healthy.
Love so many things that you said is as far as like you were believing one lie after the next lie. And so I think that as humans, and I'll speak for myself because I don't want to assume anyone else's like pain and trauma or how they deal with things, but we like to create scenarios before they actually happen. And we think like, oh, this happened in one season, so it's going to happen another season, whether it be good, bad, or indifferent. And it stops us. It stunts our growth when it mm-hmm. comes to faith. It stunts our growth when it comes to maturity. And the enemy, and I always say this to my mom, I go, we give the enemy so much credit, and not to say that he doesn't deserve credit in your scenario, but we give him so much credit in certain things. The devil was like, I didn't even do anything. You thought that up your own self. You had your own recollect to think that I was there, but I'll take the credit. But you go ahead and like stay in this hamster wheel that you've been in for the last 10 years. And once he has our thoughts, right? Once he has us like kind of tripped up, he doesn't have to do anything else. And that stops us from getting to our calling or getting to our purpose. And that wastes our lives, or end up becoming like, we waste our lives, right? We get stuck in this tunnel of like, oh, I believe this lie back in like 1976, whatever.
Well played.
And then, you know, before then, you know, I've been in this continuous cycle, and then I look up and I'm, you know, 80 or 90 years old and I haven't done anything else with my life. I haven't done everything. And now you're in the grave with the ideas and the purpose that God has given you, because you never stop to kind of just do a mental health check to be more than just aware, but to act on it. And so I know we were talking about therapy before and counselors, but I also think that you have to do the work too, right? We had mentioned like pausing and not clapping back and hopefully having the wherewithal to like, I don't know, to be mindful with our tongues too, because it says that, you know, our tongues are kind of like, what is it? Oh, I'm going to forget the scripture right now, but it essentially says like, it's the part that leads our boat. Like it's the strongest part of our body.
Smallest part of the body, but it steers the boat.
Definitely. Yeah.
Well,
definitely.
And it holds that other scripture that says our tongues hold the power of life and death, because we can speak life or we can speak death. There's not a lot of middle ground there.
Yeah. And I even feel like it's an inner tongue too, right? Because that dialogue, that inner dialogue, though you may not verbally say it, like you get so trapped in your head of saying like, oh, I'm not worthy enough, or I'm not beautiful enough, or if I just lose enough weight. And so then it's programmed. And then the first time that you spit it up, right? You're like, wait, where did that come from? And it's like, you've been rehearsing this in your head since you were age of 10 or 12. So it's incredible for you to talk about just like that ongoingness, because I think I recited that a quote that I found that we have like over, I don't know, between 12 to like 60,000 thoughts a day. And it comes out to be like 3,000 an hour or something. And I'm like, I don't like, how do you have that many thoughts? I only remember like five or six thoughts, but we, you know, we in our humanness, get so trapped up in our environment, and this confusion also causes us to have cloudy judgment or mm-hmm. cloudy discernment when God asks us to do stuff, right? So how do you walk through that of like kind of debunking the enemy, or if there's any ways that you can share with the listeners of like, you know, outside of therapy, this is what I had to do, or these are the thoughts that I, if you don't mind sharing, these are the thoughts that I had. And
oh yeah. The word that you used there that stuck out to me was awareness, because I think there's a danger in that word. Mm-hmm. And pardon my little soapbox, but when we say, well, we need educational awareness and we need whatever, XYZ awareness, awareness just sounds like you're doing something. You're not. Awareness is step one. And so, yeah, I became very aware. Wow, I'm in a really bad pit. Mm-hmm. Well, so the awareness is just that. I had to take that next step. I had to reach out to friends, family. I had to seek out the counseling. And by and large, I had to seek God, as if over those many months, I had absolutely forgotten Romans 12:2, where it's my decision to seek him to renew my mind, because without him, all my efforts were going to likely fall flat. And they had. I don't think we even touched on it the first time we talked, that I'd actually dealt with a little problem. Well, it was a big problem with alcohol when I was in high school. I was a teenage alcoholic. And I had, you know, just speaking of awareness, I had seen so many aunts, uncles, and cousins go through drug and or alcohol rehab when I was a teenager. And my strange awareness was, or my false awareness, I should say, was, well, I'm not as bad as cousin so-and-so. Mm. I'm not as bad as uncle so-and-so. So that was just my license to keep doing what I wanted to do. And I kept my alcohol problem just kept getting worse and worse. So again, that awareness, it's nothing without action. So those first steps may be difficult. Those first steps may be painful, but it's so much better than staying where you are. Because otherwise you're just stuck. And I'll harp like crazy that without God in that mix, I was not going to get any better. Otherwise, I'm just stuck in my head. And there was something else you said that I thought was really worth talking about. That inner tongue may be more dangerous. Now, yes, there's the scripture about the power of life and death in the tongue, but I think that inner tongue, those inner thoughts, might be all the more dangerous, at least to ourselves, because there your actions, your awareness, your anything is going to be completely incumbent on that script in your own head. And I think we forget that we can change the script. Again, otherwise we're just going to be stuck.
So with that, I think of like, you know, faith without works is dead, right? But awareness without works or action is also dead, because God can give you a revelation. It's kind of like God giving you a vision or a calling, but you still have to choose at the end of the day. Are you going to pick up the phone and listen to God? Are you going to go out and listen to the vision? Even if the vision is not for a time, it's for the future. It's never delayed. But just thinking of like, okay, like you have to put some work with it. And then I think that we as a, let me speak from my own generation. My own generation is going to hate me. We're lazy. We're lazy in our faith. We're lazy in just things that should be kind of mattering more. And I think I read this morning of like, you can get so much more done if you're finding more time with God, right? So we, myself included, like to say like, okay, I've got a full day of recordings, full day of like show and everything else, right? And I think that if I put in my 10-hour day and put in like an hour worth of God, that I'm going to get more done when I've never tested this theory before, so I need to test it before I kind of give people actions to do. But if I could pray like 2 or 3 hours, maybe sitting in God's presence a little bit longer, I could get more done and have a like more productive day where I'm not like overpouring out of my cup. Because at the end of my day, I'm just like, I'm tired. I don't want to talk to anyone. I want to be left alone. I want the lights out. And a little bit of jazz going on in the background, but
nice.
So that's usually how I end my days. But I just think like we gotta buckle up. Like we like to be, at least my generation, we like to be a little bit lazy. We like to let it have this instant faith. Yeah, we'll say that instant faith. And I last time I called it like fast food faith, to just like roll through the drive through and feel like, okay, I'd like a, you know, this and this and this God. And God's like, I want you to have my heart. I don't want you to just have my hand. Like, I don't want to just be giving to you. I want you to like sit here and be in relationship with me. And yes, you're aware. But these are the things that I need you to do too. And then just being conscious and aware that, you know, the devil is also sowing seeds as well. I was in a scripture last night in Matthew. I want to say it's Matthew 14, but no one quote me on that. I know it's the book of Matthew. And just talking about like, you know, the enemy also sowing seeds at the time that God is sowing seeds. And I'm going through a season where I'm like, God, is this opposition or is this protection? Like, how do I discern the two? How do I decide the two when they look the same? They look like the same seed. Which one do I pick up and pull out? And the scripture just says, leave the two seeds. It's wheat and weeds, right? So they have to, it mentions like Jesus talking about a parable, talking about leaving both of them to kind of grow up together. And then once they're at the same time, you know, you pull out the weed, which is the bad part of the crop. But at the beginning stages, you're like, God, like, what am I planting? And those seeds that you're planting in your head over and over and over, not aware enough to pull them out.
Mm-hmm. Well, and something you said that really makes me focus on something that I feel like I've been so much more aware of. And it's that dynamic between us and God, that it's never anything just like, here's your punch list. You get up, you brush your teeth, you pray for 10 minutes, you go about your day. And it's just so kind of sterile and regimented that our relationship with God is dynamic. It is times that you sit down to read the word and you can just circle on one verse and it just seems to keep giving and giving. And God, I don't know, like what I've, in those moments, God will say to me, I feel like a child, and it's awesome, where it's like a game and he's like, no, look again. Look again. There's something else there that you just blew by. Don't miss it. Like a game of I Spy. Yeah. And then it's just like fun. It's like, oh, what is it? What did I miss? And I want to keep reading and reading and soaking and soaking. And then other times when I took a whole month and read the book of Acts just for the history. That's our story there. And what the early church was going through to become who you and I are to this day was based on a lot of what happened in the book of Acts. And so it was like going back to school for a month. And I just loved reading those stories of Paul's faith and Peter's faith and some of the interactions that they had with people who came to know Jesus. It was just fascinating. That's the dynamic. But we don't get to that, to the richness of that dynamic, without our own involvement. And just kind of to your point, what degree are you in on any given day? Are you going to just read your page a day scripture calendar and retweet a Christine Kane quote and say, all right, I'm with you, Jesus, and you're off to your day?
Yeah.
Or are you looking for those times with it? What is it, 15 minutes? Is it an hour? You're going to get out of it what you put into it.
Yeah. Well, and I wish from an early age, and I grew up in the church. So I keep mentioning that I actually went to like a Christian Bible school when I was little. So thank you, Mom. Shout out to my mom. where I was, you know, it was school, but there was also an added layer of like memorizing scripture and understanding who the Lord is. And I equate all of that to who and the person that I am as far as foundationally. Do I have it all together? No, there's still temptations. There's still things that are rocky. There's trauma. There's self-doubt. There's comparison. There's anxiety. There's fear. I can keep going on. So that doesn't make me a special person at all. But I would have to say, I wish that we were taught differently. Like I feel like we should have a relationship with God like we would a friend. So whatever you like doing with your friends, God should be there too. If you like going like salsa dancing, God can be there too. God could be like Cecilia Cruz and you and everything else. If you like to travel the world, if you like this and that. And I think we box God up to say like, oh God, you're too holy to be in this part of my life. Like I can only give you 10 minutes. I can only read scripture. And I'm like, who created that? Who told us like your devotion time has to be like, it has to look like X, Y, and Z. Like why can't God be on the top of the mountain? Or, I mean, you know, he is, but I'm like, why can't we spend time hiking with God, right? And going through that dialogue, because God's in everything.
Mm-hmm. Well, and that, I remember as a newbie kind of Christian, or at least a real Bible believing Christian many years ago, where it's like a scripture, like pray without ceasing, just seemed like, how in the world am I supposed to apply something like that? I have a job. I have tasks. I have conversations and meetings and so many other things to manage. And just like what you were just talking about, why didn't we know more about that earlier, to where it's like, that doesn't mean that I have to be on my knees, eyes closed, hands clasped in front of me to be praying. Because I'm at the point where I know that prayer is a conversation. Mm-hmm. It's not old King James English of, oh, Jesus, my fatherest of fathers, and I thou wast. No, it's that constant mindfulness of God. It's that constant mindfulness of who I am to him, who he is to me. I think it's those quick check-ins where it's like, oh, I'm about to go into a really rough meeting, Lord, just help me protect my tongue. Help me to keep my peace and whatever I can contribute to the value of this meeting. Father, let me be mindful of that. Thank you. And you're in. You know, what did that take? 15 seconds? But how much more fruitful? I'm convinced that those are the moments where I'm probably lacking the most, where it's like that would be so good for me. That would be good for the rest of the people in the room. They don't even have to know what I just did.
Yeah.
But there's always going to be a good payoff for those kind of things.
And praying when you get out of the meeting, right? Because the meeting might not go the way that you want it to be. Mm. And someone might say something to you that makes you feel a certain type of way. And you're looking at them like, I can't stand you. Like, you don't know what you're talking about. Like, I'm just being honest, right?
That's
like,
never happened to me. Okay, maybe it happened once.
You need to pray after you get out of this meeting. No, I'm just kidding.
Yeah, really.
But, you know, once you get out of those meetings, because you feel a certain kind of way, like you, sometimes we pray going into it and sometimes you'll hear God, sometimes you won't hear God, but then praying out of that meeting helps you like conduct your thoughts, right? Conduct your thoughts about people that you know nothing about, and having an understanding. Because for me, I'm like, oh, okay, this person's cool. They gave me praise, but then, you know, this other person kind of discounted me, or they criticized me, or they said this, this, and this. And so it plants a seed. And then I'm thinking like, ugh, I can't stand them. So anytime that they come into a meeting or we come into like conversation, I'm already looking at them stink eye. And God's like, that's the blessing. That's who I want you to be in front of to show my light. And you can't even see properly because you've got the plank in your own eye. But I mean, those are those little moments throughout our day, right? That just seeds just being thrown. Yep.
Well, and it goes back to what you said earlier about how, because I know I do this, I've already pre-prescribed how that meeting is going to go, or how the exchange between me and that somebody is going to go, never leaving the room to go, all right, God, the last three times I had to talk to that guy, it went south.
Yep.
You know, let today be better. I invite you into this exchange this time. Guard my heart, guard my tongue. I am not going to think that this, that everything has to go exactly the way it has in the past. You're the God of redemption.
Yeah.
I'm going to believe for better things.
And you kind of grapple with it, right? Like it becomes your will because you've already preordained how that conversation's going to go. Like we had this conversation before, like being in production, like when is the show? When am I going to be there? I'm going to go here. I'm going to sit here. I'm going to get out this time. I'm going to, you know, and you don't allow God the space to breathe into the situation for him to do something miraculous, for him to kind of reshape the atmosphere. Right. And I feel like that's important too, because if it's like, God, I want it to be your will, and God's like, I can't do it, baby, because your hands are all over it. Mm-hmm. I just need you to let go so that I can show you what I want you to do, or what I want to do for you. Mm-hmm. But we're like tight-handed Christians.
Oh yeah. Well, and because you mentioned production life and the general nature that we know comes with it.
Yeah.
I can definitely speak for both sides, that side of I can show up and make this a job and go about it a bit mindlessly because I've done it for so long that I can do it with one eye closed. Mm. And I miss the opportunity to speak kindly to somebody, to ask somebody if they're doing okay. Those moments where I might actually have a really interesting or deep intersection with somebody, I've missed them because it's a job that day, as opposed to going in with both eyes open of, yes, I'm blessed because I've done this for so long that I can do a lot of it without having to pull out the manual and read, you know, steps 1 through 10 for setting something up. No, I can do all that while being mindful of, man, Kenny looks kind of down. I want to make sure I go ask him if he's doing okay. Mm-hmm. And I'm actually going to wait for an answer. Because those kind of exchanges with people make such a huge difference. Because I'm sure you've run into this before where it's like, you know somebody, but maybe you haven't worked with them for a few months. And how just something that you can recall from previously. Mm-hmm. How's it going with your daughter? I mean, there was a guy that I used to work with in Phoenix that I knew that he had been through a really rough divorce. And I just asked him how he was doing. This is one of the last times I worked with him. And I'm like, how you doing? And he's like, nah, his daughter was 14 at the time. And he starts telling me about how he's just really struggling because you got the dual parent house thing. And so he's got her for certain days. His ex-wife has got her for certain days. And he feels like in her teenage-dom, that he was just, he didn't know where he fit anymore. Mm-hmm. And I said, bro, you got to make yourself a student of your daughter. Study her. Figure out her rhythms like somebody doing a jump rope and figure out where you can fit in and maybe where you got to pull back, but show her that you're going to do whatever it takes to stay in her life because you're her dad and she means the world to you. The dude starts sobbing in a TV truck. And I mean, it's like, I just walked in here couple minutes ago to say hey to the guys I know, and that exchange happened. And it was the first day that I was there, hadn't been in Phoenix for a long time, and I walked outside of the truck and I'm like, God, if that's what you had me for, I'm so here for it. The rest of this stuff is going to be easy. But I love that I got to have that moment with Neil, and he stood up and hugged me. I didn't really talk to him much after that. But those are those two worlds of who am I here for and what am I aware of?
And Stephen, that's so important because I feel like we're always asking about purpose. That was your purpose. That was your purpose in that moment. It wasn't like this final arrival of like, oh, I'm supposed to be like the cameraman for everyone, right? Your purpose in that moment was being mindful enough, because those conversations don't just always happen organically. You kind of have to be intentional on the questions that you're asking and to remember, oh, okay, so Stephen told me that this and this is going on through his life. This is what's going on in a couple of months. Let me be mindful enough to like, either I need to write it down until I can figure it out, but to be intentional with those conversations. I have a girlfriend that I called her for something and I was like, oh, hi, you know, what happened? I think I answered the phone and she says, how are you doing? And I was like, okay, I'm doing fine. How are you? And she said, no, I asked you, how are you doing? And I said, oh, I forgot who I'm talking to. My world's a mess right now. I'm trying to figure out this, this, and that, but you need those people to kind of pause, to kind of be intentional, because that's not within our DNA. That's not how our culture is set up. Our culture is very dismissive. It's very in a rush. It's very like, I don't have time for you. And if we could just make time for God's people, we can show the adequate love. We can also see God in people, and we can get back to being human. I don't know.
Well, get back to a depth. And I think that that's difficult because when you either invite somebody in or you essentially invite yourself into somebody else's world, it's not always comfortable. Whether it's going to be a positive interaction or, you know, even the tough conversations you got to have with people because of a conflict or because of, you know, if it's a job related thing where, oh man, we're going to have to talk to them. Those conversations may suck. You may have to have a really tough kind of, you know, scab peeling conversation, but an hour later, you're going to be better because you've dealt with it. And if you can get two parties talking about something and you both endeavor to resolve it, that might have been a really tough hour, but you're going to be better for it moving forward. Or if you don't think you've got the time to sit and I can't get into my life story right now, but here's somebody who's reaching out to me and asking me how I'm doing and wanting an answer. I need to be alert to those moments too, that, okay, God has provided this right now, that somebody who cares about me isn't just giving me the hallway blow by, hey, how you doing? No, they're looking me in the eye and saying, how are you doing? I need to be sensitive to that, to say, you know what, even if I don't get into the whole story, if all I say was I'm struggling today, I didn't sleep well last night, or, you know, I haven't been feeling well for a couple of days, whatever that comes down to, or, you know, I got a big deadline I'm up against, that's a healthy exchange, but you've got to be open to that kind of depth.
Yeah. I mean, and we're shallow, right? We're yes. Shallow or warm Christians, that we're neither hot or cold. And so it's just, or in whatever religion, whatever you believe, if you don't want to say Christian specifically, you believe in the God of the universe, the Trinity. We're just warm in our faith. And I think that even with that, what you're saying is like, I don't always feel like you have to have an answer. Maybe we get so kind of strung up on like, oh, I'm not going to have the correct answer if Stephen tells me something super deep about his marriage and I've never been married before. Maybe it's just for me to listen, right? Maybe me just to have like an ear to hear you and then to trust God and the Holy Spirit to intervene and intercede to give me the words, even if it's a yes or a no, or just to be present in the moment, and also kind of shifting your atmosphere, right? Because if you walk around too long with those thoughts, right, or that process, it's like, again, you're feeding yourself. And if I'm able to kind of intercede and say, no, like, you know, this isn't going on. Like, you're more than a conqueror. This is who you are. Like, don't doubt yourself. Don't be a self-comparison. Like, you did this, this, and this. Let me remind you. Mm-hmm. I think that can change the dialect and that can change the tone. Even if it's in a second, I can help you plant new seeds in that moment of finding your identity, right? Because we're all walking around with a million different problems, a million different ideals and theories and situations, and we're all here for each other, but we don't make enough space for each other.
Yeah. Well, and I we've got the terminal disease of busyness.
don't comfort me today. Stop it.
I'm so guilty of that. And I mean, I've given a small circle of friends permission, like literal permission, that if you ever ask me how I'm doing, if anything about the first part of my answer is busy, just punch me. And that's maybe a very strange level of accountability. I don't want to be busy. I want to be effective. And I don't ever want to have my day scheduled so tight and so slammed that I don't have a minute to talk to you real quick. Even if it's just to say, okay, you're obviously in the middle of something and I do not want to disregard that. I am a bit tight on a deadline. Can we circle back to this? You know, something that sparks me to acknowledge you, to acknowledge your need, to acknowledge your whatever, you know, even if it's just, oh, hey, just saying hi, need a hug? Cool. All right, we'll catch up. You know, don't just not to be so dismissive and shallow. Then our relationships are going to have so much more depth and be so much more rich. And when we do have better margin to sit down and go, ah, okay, you said you were dealing with something. What's up? That's more, much more my goal than, oh man, been so busy. Are you griping or bragging? Cause it can't be both. That was always my life in freelance. You know, somebody's like, oh man, I haven't had a day off in 3 weeks. You griping or bragging? Cause it, you may want to sound all, oh yeah. So you're going to tell me you're going to cough up 21 days of pay? No, I didn't think so. I haven't worked 21 days straight. Your check's probably going to be a little bigger than mine.
Yeah. But then that's your, I'll put it like, it's your fault kind of not understanding where you need to take a pause or where you need to take a break. Mm. And then I also think that we just get so used to, like you said, bragging of like, oh, I'm so busy. That's become a badge of honor in society. And yes. It's like, if you're so busy and you're so tired, then take a break. I think I mentioned to you earlier and kind of surprise for everyone else, but for the month of August, I am taking the full month off. I've been so busy since January. And I was like, I just really need to pause. I got to find a time with God, right? To take more than a Sabbath day off, take a Sabbath month off to kind of just get realigned. And so that I'm not walking around like, oh my goodness, I'm so tired. It just doesn't make sense. But I think that people need to know when to pause. And I know that we try to do vacations or staycations, but you got to really know how much you can put into it. Mm-hmm. And it's fine to say like, I can only, again, this is coming from me learning about self-care. Everyone doesn't operate the same. And so if you can only work 40 hours a week, I'll just put that as the average, then make the most of those 40 hours. And that's in that end of Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, do whatever you need to do to charge. Don't try to do anything more than that and be okay with your no of not accepting work or not accepting invites or things that cause you more energy than you need. Just kind of sit with the Father. But then also challenging people that if you're going to ask deep questions, make sure you're ready for deep answers. Do yes. not come over here asking me, oh, how are you doing? And then me try to like have a deep conversation with you and you just like not really be ready for the response. So that's my two cents.
Oh yeah. Well, and something what you just made me think about as far as, you know, rest and work and all that kind of stuff. There's a big difference between capacity and ability. I've got the ability to do all kinds of stuff, but I mean, I've got the ability to do 60 hours a week. I've done it. Capacity wise though, is it good for me? To me, that's like, you know, anybody with a car has got a speedometer and around the right side, can the car do 120 miles an hour? Yes. But you notice it changes to red because it's not good to push the car mm-hmm. to its capacity. I'm sorry, Yes, it has, it's able to do that. The capacity wise, you are not smart to push the car to the red zone, just like you're not smart to push yourself past where it's good for you. Do we have seasons? Yes. I'm sure you've worked on jobs where you've done some very long days and paid a physical price for it. Mm-hmm. But those are things that you notch and ultimately end up with, I'm going to take the month of August off mm-hmm. because you need to recharge your body. You need to recharge your mind and absolutely need to recharge your spirit. Yeah. Otherwise, a year from August, it could be kind of scary in all three of those categories for you.
Yeah. And you know how it is. I mean, the summers used to be slow, mm-hmm. but the summers are, I mean, I've already turned down two people and they're like, so August. And I'm like, ooh, picked the wrong month. But I've had to keep revisiting what I submitted to God as far as like, okay, August is going to really be my space, because there's a mental capacity that comes with that. And like you had mentioned, like you've done a job. Yes, I've done a job this year. Went to bed at 8 or 9, was up at 1 o'clock because it was an international recording. So, and then worked from 1 to 9 that night. So it was a struggle bus. Anyone that saw me on that day knew that it was like, ooh, you look more than broke down. You look like a broke down hoopty. Like, it's not mm-hmm. looking good for you. And there's a mental capacity with that. And I love that you shared that, because there's the ability, right? We have the ability to do it, but then there's a capacity with it. And so I would ask you, kind of delineating between these two, like, where do you get the extra capacity to do these things? Like, you think you're able to do it. Like, oh, I could do 60 hours, but it's not wise for you to do it. Where do you find space to fill the extra or the added capacity?
My answer, I think if that is even something that is a possibility, then I'm quickly trying to do the math of where is the recharge going to come from? Mm-hmm. And can that be something that is built on the front side, built on the back side, or mixed between the two? If I know that I'm going to be tied up on a gig for 3 days, that's just going to be sun up to sundown and then some for 3 days, I'm going to do what I can to get a little extra rest on the front side. And if I can schedule nothing for a day or two after, then I'm going to do that. That's something that I've just become very, very protective of, especially where spending time with my wife is concerned, because I think it's brutal that she has to pay a price because I take on something that is going to require me being gone a lot. I wouldn't say there's a hard and fast rule to that. A lot of times it's kind of a negotiation first and foremost between me and God, just like, okay, I think it's smart that I take this or take this on. You're going to have to help me through this. Help me keep my wits, because I know on long gigs, I get tired. When I get tired, I get snippy with people, and then things aren't going well for anybody, including me. And for that matter, I don't want to be so worn out that if I do take 2 days off afterwards, that I'm just a zombie and staring at a wall here back at home. Mm-hmm. Because again, I don't want my wife to have to pay a price because of something that I chose to do. It's an interesting, never the same twice kind of a negotiation mm-hmm. of time. Time is money. I absolutely believe that, from the aspect of you can spend both. You can make more money, but you can't make more time. So I will try to figure out how to best use that time.
And I love that, because you're protecting. I always think, like, if your job got taken away today, right? Like, that's always replaceable. And I, being freelance, as you've done in the past, like, that's so hard to say no to someone, because when you're working for yourself, you're like, if I say no too many times, they're never going to come back. God, where is this resource and provisions going to come back? And I'm not seeing anything. It doesn't look like it's manifesting into anything. And so that's a faith move too, of like just trusting God to continue to keep providing, like the woman with the flour and the oil, like God just mm-hmm. kept, like, has sustained her through that entire time. And I love that you talk about protecting, because I'm like, if you ever lost your job, great, God can replace that. But as far as like your relationship with your wife, like all that time that you guys have committed together to continue building, to keep becoming who you guys are as a relationship in Christ, and kind of these like relationship goals, and even kind of showing your children what that looks like, right? Mm-hmm. You could never get that back. I mean, you could remarry, but then it's like a whole other thing. So let's just pretend like you can't remarry. we'll do an Old Testament, no Solomon or any of that, but you can't, right. You can't remarry, and you've lost all that just for job or just for money or any of that. So I think that's so pivotal. I've been starting these things called Mindful Mornings, where it not only includes God, but it includes me waking up to also like kind of, I say get up versus workout, because workout to me is like this seed of planting that I'm trying to get skinnier so I can look like the world. So it's more of a like, what can I do physically to move my body, to also thank God for my body and that all my limbs and air and everything else is moving. So that's part of my morning, but also kind of making space to meditate and to slow and to cook a proper breakfast, at least to sit down without my phone in hand before I start, because I know that like I could be up till 10 or 11. And I'm like, I never got that morning. I never got anything to replenish my cup. And you know how some things are, but yeah, I think that, you know, definitely have to build a bumper and to protect your family.
Well, and that's, I so appreciate for whatever my nickel is worth in Brittany's economy, you take August off. August is God's, August is yours, however you want to put that. If you needed somebody on the outside cheering you on, I'm all for that, because that to me sounds like a very healthy decision. It's for the right reasons. It's not just like, I'm going to take a month off and party. It's for all the right reasons. And you will absolutely benefit from that. You know, a year from then, 5 years from then, you may still be looking back at August of 2021 and think, oh, that was so good. You know, that's one of those places where you build an altar and remember, God met with me there.
Yeah.
And the other thing you said that made me think about something, my brother-in-law is a marriage and family counselor. And the thing that he preaches hard is to be healed, healthy, and whole. And those may sound synonymous, but the truth is healed is physical. I mean, you can be healed, but still not be healthy. Mm-hmm. You break your arm and it gets better. Well, that's healed, but maybe the rest of you still not healthy. Healthy is your mind. Whole is your spirit. So to be healed, healthy, and whole, that's something, I mean, he first told me about that a couple of years ago, and it's something I try to be mindful of constantly, that we are a very triune being, and we are given the greatest, you know, reference of all time in a triune being, that seeking to be healed, healthy, and whole constantly. And it's almost like, you know, you want it good, fast, or cheap, pick any two. Well, don't pick two and healed, healthy, or whole. Strive for all three. But that's kind of like spinning plates. And that keeping two is really good. I'm good at keeping two going, but it's that third one that starts to wobble. I could go on and on about that, but it really is all combined. I hope it comes off that way.
No, yeah. And so, I mean, and it says it in scripture, right? Like that you're supposed to love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and your mind. And I'm sure there's another part of that that I'm missing, because it's repeated several times throughout the scripture in both the Old Testament and New Testament. Those that are Jewish have like the Shema that also kind of talks about that, that it's repetitive, right? That there's this holistic approach when it comes to our faith. So it's not just like believing, but it's like, okay, what are you doing with your mind? What are you doing with your body? What are you doing with your soul? Like, and all the pieces that come together every time that we wake up, every time that God gives us a new day, every time that he gives us new mercy and new grace today, that has to be the forefront of who am I becoming in my mind, my body, and my soul as I walk out this faith.
Yeah. And what you said, that is perfect. Who am I becoming?
Yeah.
Because I don't want to, yeah, I'm having a good day today, but I'd hate to think that this was it.
Yeah.
If this is arriving, then I'm going to be sorely disappointed.
Well, and what if today was your last day, right? Not to, you know, what would you have done different, right? What would you have said no to, to protect your spirit, to protect your mind, to protect your marriage, protect your kids?
Or what would I have regretted?
Yeah.
Yep.
All of those things are very hard, hard truths when we come to kind of like understanding who we are in that becoming. You know, I would ask you kind of like in this kind of final conversation or final question is like, you know, who, like, I guess not, I asked you started like, what is your I am story? But then more of us like, who are you? What is your, like, who is your identity, right? Or who are you without adding any labels to, like, I'm a cameraman, I'm a foodie. Like, if we were to strip all that away from you, Stephen, to get an idea of who you are, then who would that be?
What comes to mind is that I am an imperfect storyteller. I love people's stories. I love God's story. Mm. That's what comes to mind for me is at the core of me, I've always been fascinated by stories. And when I finally connected to God and got the understanding of how his story changes people and redeems people's stories and changes entire families' stories, I've just been absolutely fascinated by stories. And I guess if I could wish that if all my friends got together after I passed away and they divvied up who was going to get up and speak, that of the handful of folks that talked at my funeral, that they would each say something about that, that I loved my family, I loved my friends, and I thrived on people's stories. I don't know if that's what you were looking for,
no?
But that's kind of my off the cuff answer, that even if I never made another video or another podcast again, that I would still never lose my fascination with somebody's story.
And God was like the ultimate like parable story. So the parable storyteller, yes. If I would say that. So no, that's beautiful. You know, I try to strip it down to kind of just challenge people to understand who they are without the title. So outside of you being, you know, a cameraman or if you're a coordinator or whatever you think that you're only, God can do something more with that. And so I think we, in our minds, I'm going to keep saying it all year long, you guys, because I just feel like this mind, the two things in between one ear and the other ear, is the thing that's just, you know, pushing us back from where we need to be. And so we discredit ourselves. We disqualify ourselves. We get in our heads of like, oh, I'm just this person. I can't have this or that because of society. Whatever way it is, it's like, okay, let me understand myself for who I am, for what God's word says about me, but also for who I actually am without the title. If you were never this person again, that doesn't demote you as a person. That doesn't take away from the purpose and vision God has given you. I mean, we put so much power behind like CEOs and CTOs and VPs and preachers and pastors and deacons. And I can go down the list. And it's like, if they were taken off, like, would they still be able to lead? Like, you know, God just seems so like, he seemed so normal that like he wasn't even in the church, but he was the church. And so many people flocked to him in his slow and steadiness that he didn't even need a building. So when I think about Jesus, I'm like, he was like, that was him all day long. Like if you took some of these pastors and preachers out of their churches, would that still be who they were? Like to lead right. people outside of their 9 to 5, as we like to say it. So no, I like that answer. That's a good answer. you passed the test. You are not a lukewarm Christian. Yeah.
Well, and you're so right in that too, in that your mind is your limiter. And how often do we get stuck in that? And for whatever it's worth, I'm 55 and I'm still gaining the grasp of what that really means, that I am my own limit. And that may sound positive or that may sound negative. I don't know if it's right to assign it one category or the other.
Yeah.
Because if my mind is in the space of this is going to be hard and I can do it, or this is too hard, I can't do it. Either way, my mind is steering.
Yeah.
Erase the bad, erase the pessimism and go.
And stay curious, right? I think.
Yes.
Stay curious. I know that you talk about your age and I'm like, I don't think the learning ever stops. I think that you're going to be, you're going to be Abraham's age, still learning like, okay, God, you can still do new things with Sarai and everybody else.
Well, yeah, but you're absolutely right. It goes back to what we were saying just a minute ago that, I mean, yeah, I'm having a decent day, but if this is it, if I've hit some kind of a pinnacle here,
yeah,
wow. That what a sad statement that would be. I've got so much more to learn.
Yeah.
And I'm here for it.
I appreciate all your insight. I appreciate your wisdom. I appreciate you being honest and coming on this episode and coming on the podcast to just share your experience, to be tell us about your faith for us people that are us youngins that are still kind of just trying to figure it out, to understand and to see someone else that, you know, is still walking by faith and being obedient and being faithful and waking up and just striving towards it. I think that speaks monumental for all of us. And I'm so happy that you were able to do a part two, 2.0, 3, whatever it is.
2A.
So happy for you to be joining us today. Again, Stephen, I can't thank you. So glad that the Holy Spirit was able to come a second and third time. There's no limit with the Holy Spirit. But before we leave, if they want to find you anywhere, where can the listeners, my faith finders, find you?
Well, like you have mentioned, I am the host of the Nook podcast. I am still having such a blast putting those stories together. That's just that, the Nook podcast, nookpodcast.com. All my social media feeds are under Murphy24P. And that's Instagram, Twitter. That's about it.
And one other thing before you leave, I'm going to have you pray us out. Just praying, just direction. And anyone that's listening to this and struggling with self-identity or comparison or the thoughts that are in between their mind that they can't control or think that they can, or seeds that the enemy has planted that they just need some direction of, you know, God, is this opposition or is this protection? So.
Father, thank you so much for good connections. What a humbling thing it is to realize that when we make such good connections with people who also love you, that Lord, you've ordained that this connection between Brittany and myself was something that you had in mind long before we did. And I so appreciate that. I ask that you bless Brittany in her coming and her going. Bless her in her August off and the rest of the things that she puts together with this podcast, with future guests, and all by your direction, God, that you are guiding her. You're guiding her decisions, and that you will get the glory for the things that she puts out there. And Father, for any listener right now who is dealing with confusion, dealing with stress and strife, Father, show them who you are. Remind them that you are absolutely in control. They just need to trust you. Father, help them to put aside anything that is bringing them such great stress or anything less than what you have for them, Father, that you would show yourself to be that real, amazing God that we all need so desperately. And we thank you for all the changes in health, in wholeness, and healing that you will bring forth in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you. Well, that's this week's episode. What a wonderful conversation. I hope that it inspired and encouraged you. You can catch my good friend Stephen Murphy at the Nook Podcast, dropping a new episode every single week. But what I want to leave you with is I hope that God is with you, that you hold on to God in every part of your day, that you're seeking his face, that you're seeking his truth, that you're seeking his light, and you're continuing on for whatever he's given to you. It may not always seem easy, but that's part of the journey. That's part of the faith. That's part of increasing our strength and our worth. So be encouraged by this message that wherever you are right where God wants you. Keep holding the light that is within you.